Tom Hanks Podcast. Wow, it's Tom Hanks Podcast. You've got Hanks, so let's say thanks for Hanks. Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to You've Got Hanks, the podcast about Tom Hanks, hosted by me, Rachel Chapman.
Yay!
And today on the podcast, we have Pete Annette of The Biggest Scoop.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
Hello. It's Natalie and Peter.
And Pete.
We're so freaking excited to be here. Can we say bad words?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go for it.
I just think they generally
let's just get it out of our system.
Yeah.
Let's get it out of our system right now.
Fuck.
Balls.
Balls. Fuck balls.
Okay, I think that's all.
Okay. Yeah. All we need. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Go for it.
I love that. Okay. We might.
Yeah, sure.
Enjoy. No, go for it. Today we are talking about the movie Radio Flyer from 1992.
Mm-hmm. We sure are.
Yeah. Not a lot of Tom Hanks, though there is a lot of Tom Hanks.
You know his voice?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's ever present.
Yeah.
It is about his character, but he only plays the older version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I think he's uncredited.
He is uncredited. Yeah. I saw that on IMDb.
What do you mean uncredited? I'm an idiot.
They don't credit
him. I'm not an idiot. Don't say that.
No, you're not.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. He doesn't get a credit in the movie.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah.
Like, not until the end.
Like, not even... Oh, I see what you're saying. Like, a written credit.
Because we watched on... I think you guys watched on Amazon, right? And then before I could watch all the credits, because I wanted to make sure and see if his name popped up at all, it started playing The Mask of Zorro. Did you guys get that?
No.
I got that, too. Is it the same director or something?
I have no idea, but it was, like, up next. Mask of Zorro. Like, that, like, ticking thing, and I wanted to click no don't but there was no button to do that
and you got Zorro'd.
I got Zorro'd
at that point. I closed the tab.
I had to close
it. Shut down as well.
I was like, okay, never mind, I guess I won't check. But Tom Hanks is in it, even though IMDb says he's uncredited.
Check that out, IMDb, because you gotta you gotta fix it.
Yeah,
because he was present.
He was in there.
He was good.
He was super in there.
He did some good VO.
Yeah.
The whole movie was a lesson he was teaching.
Yes, it was. If you guys haven't seen Radio Flyer before, I have a synopsis from IMDb.
Yes, also we're going to spoil everything, right?
Yeah. Okay, thank God, so I'm giving you the synopsis so that you're prepared.
Great.
A father recounts a dark period of his childhood when he and his little brother lived in the suburbs.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
That's not wrong.
I mean, it's
like so much more loaded than
that. I was going to say, that's like very, that describes the framing device of the movie.
Yeah.
But not
which, like that's the point of a tagline, right?
Yeah.
So, well done.
Just like get you interested.
Yeah.
I'm interested. Ooh, dark period. I want to know more. But
yes. And it has that like Princess Bride structural element where it's like, oh, somebody telling a story and then you just see the story.
Totally. Yes. Yes.
But this is not as fun as the Princess Bride.
It's not.
No.
It's not. Well, there are moments
that are fun.
There are fun moments for sure, but it's dark.
Yeah.
It has a dark underbelly.
It gets real dark.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to wait to talk about it until we're like talking about it.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry for making you watch this. But
it's really okay. It was good for me, at least.
Yeah. It was like cathartic.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm happy that we did it. Yeah. I am happy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Don't you have nothing?
Could
to
you
feel
imagine
bad about
if
Rachel Chapman stop with this look in your
I'm
eyes?
Sorry.
Could you imagine if we had come on and we were like, we need to confront you about this?
Yeah, on your podcast.
I can't believe you did
this. Wouldn't that be wild?
That would be so
would
sad.
We would never.
I had you guys on my list of who I want on the podcast, and then I just basically just added you to a random movie, and I didn't know it was gonna be.
Oh, about childhood trauma.
Yeah.
Oh, that we've both experienced quite a bit of.
Yes.
We've had a little bit.
It's not sad. It's a part of us.
Yeah.
And tis who we are as artists.
Yeah. And tis the season.
And tis the season to be jolly. Fa la 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 la.
Well, let's go on a positive note right now.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
is your favorite Tom Hanks movie?
Favorite?
Yeah.
Forrest Gump.
Okay.
I'm basic as fuckballs.
It's a great movie.
It's a really good one.
You won an Oscar for it.
Yeah. Listen, I'm a character actor.
Uh-huh.
I'm discovering this about myself right now.
Yeah.
Yikes. And
You've known this for so long.
You know what? Maybe you have, but I'm just realizing, okay?
It's a discovery.
I'm having a moment of self-discovery, okay. Peter. Okay.
You're self-identifying as a character actor.
I'm self-identifying as a character actor. Thank you so much. Thank you. And wow, what a character.
Yeah.
He fully embodied. Transformation.
Yeah.
I'm all about that transformation.
You know that he based his character on the actor that played his younger self in that movie. Like the accent that he does is that actual actor's accent.
That's so smart.
Yeah. That's so cool. Wow.
That's good work. That's really good.
I haven't seen it in a hot second. How much is
it's a long movie.
Kid version of him in the movie?
It's a good portion of it. It's a very long movie.
Yeah, I remembered that part about it. Yeah.
I don't know. I'd say
like
probably
a half hour, 40?
Yeah, I'd say probably like 20,
okay.
22%.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Rad.
Yeah.
Rad.
A good chunk.
Yeah.
Good chunk.
Good chunk.
What about you?
Chunk.
Yeah.
So I love Tom Hanks so much. There's
who
so
doesn't?
Many. He's such a good guy.
Hey, it's the point of this podcast.
I want to find out who doesn't.
Yeah.
Find out why.
I think it's like, because he's just such a He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy he and is. A great actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like you're wrong if you don't like him, unless he's done something wrong.
Oh, but
in which case, wow, that would just break us all.
Yeah. That would break the entire world.
I know.
But I don't think he has.
I'm not looking forward to it.
I don't think somebody
it.
Who's
that
worked
one
this much
Onion
is bad.
Article. Did you see that?
No.
Where it was like a woman comes out about Tom Hanks being a great guy.
Oh,
and it was just like the worst. And so many people sent that to me during like the whole like Harvey Weinstein moment. And I was like, why are you doing this? Every time I would like,
you get like kind of like hyperventilation.
Totally.
Yeah. It's very triggering.
So what's very triggering.
Can I give a handful?
Yes.
Okay.
Fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've got,
I allow it.
I'm just going to like narrow down to three.
Because
there's so many. But like a League of Their Own.
Yes.
Huge. Oh my God.
So good. So good.
So good. So funny.
Same year as this movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he spent a lot more time on camera in A League of Their Own.
Yes. A lot more time. Yeah. Yeah.
That Thing You Do.
Oh, I love that movie. That is directed and written by Tom Hanks.
No way.
No shit.
And he wrote like two of the songs in the movie too.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is so crazy. I love that film.
Yeah.
That film.
I've never seen it.
You gotta watch it. It's so good. But make sure you're watching the regular version and not the director's cut version, because the director's cut is a lot longer. And I bought a DVD and started watching the director's cut. And I was like, why
is this a really long movie?
Yeah. I mean, it's still really good, but like the regular version is better.
Yeah.
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 Okay. And then
my list.
My final of the three. I have like three more I could say.
Okay.
But I will like, because it's kind of lesser known, The Lady Killers. I love The Lady Killers.
I've never
excited
seen
to
that
see
before.
That.
Oh, it's so fun.
We should watch, Rachel.
My first R-rated movie in theaters, but it's been so long I forgot it.
Oh my gosh. Yep. So it's on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
It is. Or it's
Lady
on,
Killers?
It's on one of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was in the same boat. I had seen it with my dad when I was like really young.
Yeah.
And I think it was one of my first rated R's as well.
Yeah.
And then I rewatched it and I was like, whoa, this is like dark and weird and like, I don't know. It's a really weird movie.
And he plays a fine character, right?
He does.
Like a weird accent.
Like a weird accent. And he's like a scam artist.
Yeah.
And he's like evil.
Yeah.
He's
we
really
love a scam.
Evil.
Yeah.
Scam is loaded.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of murder. It's cool.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Lady Killer.
Yeah.
I
think it's in the title. Stinkhole is one of those movies that came out like when I was too young and then never like matched up with me again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. When did it come out? What year?
That was like
you were in high school.
2002?
Yeah.
I was five.
Lady Killers. Oh, excuse me. 2004.
Okay, I was six. No, seven. Natalie, do the math. But still, you know those things of like like it comes out when you're like a little kid and then like you hear about it later in life and you're just like, I never did that because it just didn't match up.
Yeah. The timing wasn't right.
Yeah.
And there's just so many movies in the world that like it's past, it's gone.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we're saying it is worth going back. Yeah.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
Also, Road to Perdition. Ooh. There's a film or there's a moment in that film that was shot in my hometown. So I remember like
being like, that, I know
my
that
hometown
place.
Is like so small. So it was like really cool to like, to, have, we saw Tom Hanks drive by with this huge like Escalade.
Really?
Yeah. And you could like see him through the tinted window. And my
the
mom was like,
you just got on your face is special. Yeah. Wow. That is a beautiful, wonderful grin, Rachel.
You saw Tom Hanks?
I saw Tom Hanks and I saw Jude Law.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, man.
It was really cool.
Can I tell you that the few times that I've seen him in real life, like I went to a few of his talks.
Oh,
every single time I'm like sitting there and even though he's talking about like nonsense, nothing important, I start crying because I'm just like so excited to be in the same room as him.
I love that.
It's a problem. I'm like so nervous about the first time that I actually meet him. I'm just gonna bawl.
Well, we should get him on the podcast.
I'm gonna try, but I'm scared that he'd say no.
No, he'd say yes. He'd be totally into it.
I have to send him a letter on my typewriter, a typewritten letter. Mm-hmm. That's and then he'll respond to that.
He loves typewriters.
He
loves typewriters.
Does he really love typewriters?
Oh, he loves them so much. He has a huge collection of typewriters. I actually bought mine from the same place that he buys his in New York.
Oh my God, rad.
Yeah.
How much was it? If you don't mind me asking.
It was pretty expensive, but I was like, this is worth it. It's
totally. Yeah. Totally. I really want a typewriter.
Yeah.
When I first started writing as a kid, I wrote on a typewriter.
Oh, really? Because
it's what my like great grandpa had or my great uncle or something.
Totally. Yeah.
And he like, he passed away and like left it for us.
Oh, that's sweet.
It was very cool.
An heirloom.
Yeah. And like, I love doing a delete.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it just does a little white out.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, they put an old one in my pediatrician's office, and I always remember, like, playing secretary of the doctor whenever I would go there.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So that, like, sound that you just did that reminded me of that. That, like, yeah, because I would be like, and, you know, who's next? Great, I'll type you down.
Yeah.
Because that makes sense.
And that's why healthcare is so expensive, because they hire a lot of children.
Kids.
And they pay children a full salary.
We have to get paid as kids.
Yeah, we need reform, healthcare reform right now.
We demand.
Oh, boy. Well, we should probably get into this movie.
The Radio Flyer.
No. Yeah.
Is it the Radio Flyer or just Radio?
It's just Radio Flyer.
That's fine.
Yeah. And you guys haven't seen this movie before?
No.
No.
No, this was my first viewing.
Me too.
Yeah.
Never heard, quite honestly.
No, me neither.
I had heard.
You had heard.
I had heard.
What did you hear?
I heard the title and I have seen The Wagon. So I had like made that linkage.
Yeah.
And then I think it was one of those things where like I would go to Blockbuster a lot as a kid.
Uh-huh.
And so it was always like in that area I would look, but I never got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't the cover of the movie wasn't that cool.
It didn't grab me.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is another Elijah Wood movie that the cover of that movie did grab my friend Kristen, because I remember she rented it and made us all watch it, and it was really sad too.
What movie?
Everything Is Illuminated.
Oh.
Have you seen it? It's him and I think like sunflowers or something.
Hmm.
Okay.
I don't know. I just remember one time she was like, we gotta watch this movie. I got it from Blockbuster. The cover looks so cool. It was like about the Holocaust or something.
Bummer. Wow. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It's really sad.
And sunflowers.
Yeah.
Juxtaposition.
I know this obviously is a Tom Hanks podcast.
Yeah.
Because that's like the title and the point of this.
Yeah.
But Elijah Wood was so breathtaking.
Oh yeah.
In this, and I do not want his performance to go untalked about in this conversation.
He's great.
Yeah.
He killed, and he's how old was he when he did
seven
this?
Or
yeah.
He's
like absurdly young.
Yeah.
And absurdly raw and emotional.
Yeah.
And I was so impressed.
He won a young person in Hollywood award for this.
Good.
I can't remember the
That's
full
rad.
Title. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well deserved. Young
I
Elijah
had no
Wood.
Idea it was him until I got in the car with Natalie. And she said
and
that.
I referenced and I his character as Elijah Wood.
And I was like, holy shit, like, this is crazy. He yeah. was so good.
So good.
Also, I have a soft spot for Elijah Wood because that's a celebrity doppelganger that I get told.
Oh,
a lot.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
See it?
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not a lot of it, but a little bit.
In high school, I looked more like it.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of you in high school. Yeah, high school Pete looks like
a little more hobbity.
Elijah Wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he was in
Frodo.
Lord of the Rings.
He was Frodo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big career move for him.
He's got a lot. He was big.
He's a big deal. Yeah.
I feel like he just like lives around the corner now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He had like a show, I think, with a dog. I remember.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Was it a talking dog?
I think so.
It was like a dude who dressed up as a dog. Wow. I was like really into that concept. Did it work or did it not work?
I think it worked for a few seasons.
I was going to say, I thought I had heard something good about
it. Cool.
Yeah.
Damn, good for Elijah.
And then the other kid in this movie is from Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, you did. You did.
He also was recently in Bohemian Rhapsody. He was one of the bandmates.
Bringing it back.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, damn. That's so crazy that both of those kids are still working.
Yeah.
I purposefully didn't see Bohemian Rhapsody.
Purposely.
Yeah, purposefully.
I watched it on an airplane, so it was like, but it was like,
yeah,
I didn't pay for it.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. I was like, I don't want to support this movie because like also it's like wrong. And then also there's a lot of controversy around it. But I watched it on an airplane because I was like, you know, I'm not paying for it.
Yeah.
Fair.
I'm torn about it because, like, for my dad, who's, like kind of like a stick in the mud sometimes, he was like, oh, I really liked it, and I didn't know all that about Freddie Mercury or whatever.
And it was wrong. Yeah.
So it was, like, doing good, but also I know it's wrong as a project. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's complicated.
Yeah.
I'm still in the middle of that one.
I mean.
You're going to have to circle back.
Yeah, we can circle.
I guess it brought a lot of people joy, so.
Mm-hmm.
But
so good for that.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what else brought me joy?
What?
The buffalo.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
Okay.
Oh my god.
So we'll
get into the buffalo later.
So the beginning of the movie starts with these two little kids that are playing with planes, and then Tom Hanks is their dad, and he comes over because one of them makes a promise or something. He's like, promises are a big deal, and
is the point of the movie.
Yeah, he gives a big old speech, says a lot of things that are very like, wow, this is really deep for kids.
Yes.
And the kids are like, we don't understand anything that you're saying. And
yeah.
He's like, I'm going to tell you the story.
Yeah, and he starts to tell a story about his brother and him back when they were kids. But first, he gives a little backstory about this kid, Fisher, who... flew his bike off with, like, an airplane, but then crashed and, like, broke his leg, basically. Mm-hmm. But he was a legend. It's like...
Because he flew.
So then we cut to Bobby and Mike. Mike is Tom Hanks, but little Mike, which is Elijah Wood. And then Bobby is his little brother, and they're moving somewhere with their mom.
Because the dad left.
Yeah. And we can see that because she's like fiddling with her ring finger. And then they explain that their dad left them and they're moving to Oklahoma.
I thought it was California.
Oh, it's California. They stopped in Oklahoma for the buffalo.
That
was it. Okay, my notes.
And they're coming from Jersey.
Yeah.
That's a long trip.
That's what I kind of thought. I was like, oh, dad left. Like, it seemed like such a big thing to do.
Yeah.
But I guess I shouldn't judge. Like,
to leave
in that situation, like moving away, yes, but like. To be like, wow, I'm going to do a California move. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's because they knew people in California.
Yeah, she had an aunt.
Oh, shoot. I might miss that.
No, it's fine. Yeah. We all miss things.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
It's okay. We all miss things.
I'm sorry.
No.
They stop in Oklahoma on the way.
They
do.
Yeah. And that's when we see the buffalo.
That crying buffalo.
Yeah.
The single-tiered buffalo. Yeah. Did you fucking see that single tier? Because
it's a lonely buffalo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. But you but you see him in the wide. You see the buffalo in the wide shot, and you're like, holy shit, the last buffalo. And the mom and the two little sons after this like road trip with peanut butter.
Yeah.
Like they had like fucking like 10
so many
jars.
Yeah.
They threw it in the back.
With crackers. I loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like we did that on our road trip across America.
So many jars.
So many jars. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting there and it's like after this like nice cowboy old man lets them in for free to the Buffalo viewing place. Yeah. And they're sitting there, yes. and they're theorizing it, and they're just like observing it.
Yeah.
And then it's just the most sudden close up of the face of the buffalo.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, yeah. So the whole time you've been like sobbing. And then when we do the close up, you see yeah. a single tear.
I know.
It felt a lot.
It yeah. was a lot.
It felt a lot, but it did get the point across.
The symbol, yeah. the symbol was heavy handed, perhaps.
Yes, it was. Yes.
Yeah.
It was like this lonely, sad buffalo.
Yeah.
Yeah. The was last it buffalo.
It, perhaps.
I don't have no idea.
This, that's the what they said. The crime buffalo called to mind that old PSA for like pollution. That's when we look back on it, very racist. But the Indian with the single tear going down
yeah.
his face, I was like, and that's kind of same era. Native I like American? Wonder which one came first, Native American or Indian?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Word. Yeah, absolutely. Because mm-hmm. that was like the.
It was the same era, so I wonder which came first.
Yeah, this is also when. Dances with Wolves was a big movie, right?
I think, yeah, like early 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's Dances with Wolves?
What's his face?
Kevin Costner.
Costner. Yeah. It was like 3 hours long. It was basically Pocahontas. It was like a Pocahontas type movie. It was Avatar. Like yeah, those kinds yeah. of movies where the white yeah. man comes in and falls in love with a native
we
woman.
Don't like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty problematic.
Yeah.
But it tells the not story of what's actually happening.
Yeah. yeah. But it was 3 hours long.
Yeah,
that's
it's a
all
lot.
I remember.
No. We watched it in school.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Crying Indian was 1971.
1971.
And so this, perhaps there was influence. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Perhaps. You know, when they wrote this, it probably was in the 70s. It takes a while for movies to get made, right?
That's true. Yeah.
The ideas yeah, come and then 20 years later. but then they get to
California.
Yeah. Along the way, though, they're singing the song where
oh,
it's
yeah.
like, buck, buck, banana, buck, buck, fee, fi, fo, fuck.
Oh,
oh yeah.
yeah. He goes, I'll get the soap myself to yeah. wash out the bad words. Of
which
my
is
mouth.
Like funny, but also it was the first indication of like, oh, this is a kid who like will blame himself.
Yeah.
Like, be hard on himself.
Because it was an honest mistake. They didn't know that
exactly.
was like going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, it's so sad.
But wow, Pete, totally correct. Because that's the first time that you see that like in the story structure of it.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Without that, I thought the scene was very random and just so sad.
Totally.
yeah.
But
yeah.
like once you are done with the movie, you're like, oh, that makes sense.
Oh, that makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
is that when they were like joking about the farts too?
Mm.
There were some like fart jokes, which I liked because I was raised by a single mom
yeah.
and she was very like open about farts and it was like it was really great for us like growing up
yeah.
to be
like,
raised
we're
in that
just
kind
bodies.
Of household.
Yeah. yeah,
yeah. We're just
bodies
fart.
With gas.
My family is very open about farts too.
Oh, I love that.
yeah, because my dad would always blame his farts on the cat.
That's what my dad does.
yeah. Like cat, and it's like Dan.
Like, no
it
way,
yeah. And he's like, me, no way.
yeah. My dad will say like he stepped on like a tortoise or something. Like you know, he'll be like who stepped on a turtle or whatever. Also, during this road trip scene, there's a really quick cutaway
uh-huh.
where the mom like it's you see outside the car, the mom like. Cuts off another car and like wedges herself in between these two cars and she gets honked at.
Oh yeah.
It like stood out to me as this like
why?
Super unsafe like lane change and I was like, why is this in there?
Yeah.
To show that she is a person too.
Yeah, okay.
To show that,
humanize
you know,
the
yeah,
mother.
Humanize the mom.
We all
yeah.
make bad
She's
lane changes.
We all make bad lane changes.
Going through so much. You know when you make those bad lane changes because your mind is somewhere
yes,
else.
That's
you
true.
Know?
And so, that's exactly what she's doing in this moment moving across country.
Yeah.
yeah.
Her mind is somewhere else.
But mm-hmm. she also has two children in the car.
It's true.
You know what? We
like,
let her be.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's going through a lot right
struggling.
Now.
Struggling.
All right. Let me check that off my yeah. list of struggling. Stuff I wanted to talk about.
So they arrive at the aunt's apartment, mm-hmm. and she's
like, hi.
Yeah, she also miscalculates how much stuff is on top of the car, so she like breaks their bike, and she first of all blames them, but then is like, oh no, that was my bee. And so then,
oh my god,
this is when their mom starts dating a guy named the King.
Perfectly named.
Yeah. Also, perfectly named. We don't see his face really.
I loved that.
Yeah, let's get into this.
A lot of it is just like you see from like his like chest downward, or like he's covering his face mm-hmm. and things, mm-hmm. so you don't really see it towards the
with
until
the ring.
Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. which is yeah. such a cool cinematic technique to
I
make.
I love that
to make it from the kid's perspective because you just see their legs.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
you know, same thing happened in like the Rugrats or something, right?
Oh yeah,
or like one of those.
Yeah. It's like the wah 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 in Charlie Brown too.
Yes. Yeah. Totally.
It's not about the parents; it's from the kids' perspective.
Exactly. Yeah. And okay, first, the King.
Yeah.
I would just have to say this.
Yeah.
Because they said we called him the King because that's what he liked to be called.
Yeah.
And that line.
The chills.
Chilled me.
The yeah.
chills. Chilled me. and prepared me because they also do the slow shot on his, like, the first
drinking
beer he
the
opens.
Beers.
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
Oh. East Side brand.
See, I was such a dummy and I was just like, oh.
That's
okay.
a long shot for yeah. a beer sip.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I guess this is like the time they're showing off this beer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing.
Oh, I missed it.
Just
yeah,
from
the crack
that moment.
Of the beer
yeah, the crack of the beer was, and the line, that's what he liked to be called.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, yep. here we go.
Totally.
Oh, no.
It was
totally.
At that moment that yep. I was.
I felt similarly.
Yeah.
I missed that. Well, he helps them fix their bike that their mom broke.
That's true.
Setting up that maybe he's good, but no.
Fixing then, a bike does not make you good.
Yeah. No.
Mm-mm. Just saying.
Just makes you able to fix a bike.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Just
it's a nice gesture, and I'm not saying I don't appreciate it, but that doesn't make you good.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And then the next scene is we see Bobby's birthday, and he gets the radio flyer for mm-hmm. his birthday. Mm. He's very excited.
From Mama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're at a carnival, and they're riding airplanes, and then this is when, like, Bobby has, like, got his arms out, and
he's like, wee.
Carefree, and, like, there's some Tom Hanks narration where he talks about how Bobby is a special kid who, like, is, like, sees things differently than everyone else, kind of.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. He's like a magic kid.
Another foreshadowing.
Yeah. And then this is when they go fishing.
Yep.
Ugh. Yeah. So it's Bobby, Mike, and the King. And they catch a fish and they start reeling it in, but they're reeling it in too fast.
Because they're kids.
Yeah. And they don't know. And the King is like, not so fast. And then they're like, get it. You got it. You got it. And then they end up breaking the line.
The line yep.
And that's when the King hits Bobby.
Like hard across the face and called him like, what are you, deaf or stupid?
Yeah, it's really.
And it came out of nowhere. And I love that it was by the ocean as well, because maybe this is just me putting my perspective on it.
Yeah.
But you think of the beach, the water as like a peaceful place.
Yeah.
As like a place of.
It was also like sunset too.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So it was
like sunset's like romantic and calming. And then he just smacked him.
Yeah.
A little kid.
And he's sitting there crying and he just is yelling at him. And then eventually after a while, he like rubs his head and he's like, it's okay.
I was going to say that's the worst part for me is at the end, because as a kid who's like gone through something like that, it's like you immediately want their approval. So when you get it, you're sort of like, oh, I like deserved that thing that happened to me, and now I get their approval back.
Exactly.
So I'm on the right track at
least.
Yeah.
And then that's like the power trip.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
The power trip of the King.
The power trip of the King.
Yeah. I mean, it's so true.
And we see Elijah Wood's character, and we hear Tom Hanks talk about how they didn't tell their mom. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I really wish that I had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that was the start of it, basically. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah.
Because that was the whole thing. That was the promise.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was that Elijah Wood promised his brother that he wouldn't tell mom.
Yeah.
Yep.
I hate that. The promise that you won't tell thing.
Yeah.
Because that, I mean, for what I went through, that was the thing that fucked me up the most, was that, like, I knew, like, kids are so, that's what also why I love kids so much. Kids are so smart.
Yeah.
And we know so much as kids instinctively. and the world just kind of shuts it down a little bit, and then we don't, and then we like forget how to follow them. Mm-hmm. It's like the seven things that he was talking about that like make you a kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like we get those like taken away from us, you know, of like,
totally.
But it's kind of fun because you can get them back if you want them. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Yeah.
Like I still believe in some of the things, like I still believe animals can talk, you know?
Yeah,
like,
me too.
I totally believe.
I talk to my cat.
I talk to my cat all the time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the like the not telling thing.
Yeah.
Because that is something, it's a catch 22 for a kid, because you know it's wrong with your instincts, and you know you should say something, and you know that the people in your life that are people that you admire and people that push through are people that do the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you made a promise to somebody, and if you break that promise, then that's bad.
Yeah. You're hurting them.
Then you're hurting that person.
Yeah.
Totally.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
well, it's a way for
going through that.
Yeah. But it's a way for an authority figure
to manipulate the situation.
To manipulate the situation.
Totally.
Because.
Yeah.
A promise is something a kid can understand. It's like a simple enough concept where a kid's like, oh, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But for an authority figure, it is a way to like manipulate the way that child acts or what they says.
Totally.
And yeah, the promise was also like.
But also the promise was from from Bobby to Elijah Wood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which made it even more heartbreaking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because Bobby was the victim.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like when somebody asks you to make that promise, as somebody who's gone through it, you must respect that, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then that buffalo came in and gave him guidance.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
The buffalo came back.
Oh, yeah.
I'm skipping ahead, though.
Oh, so, yeah.
It's getting closer, though, yeah.
Yeah, we're close.
We're close.
We're close. Yeah, we're close to both.
Yeah. The king and their mom get married, and then they move to the suburbs, mm-hmm. and they, with their dog, Shane.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Shane is such an important part to the story.
They move into this new house that used to be the Marshall's house, and all the kids on the block think that they kicked out the Marshalls, but mm-hmm. they didn't. What dumb kids. And this is when we see the sheriff, the police officer mm-hmm. come by, and he's the dad from Home Alone.
Yes.
He is the dad from Home Alone. Absolutely.
And since he was someone I recognized, I was like, he must be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had the same idea.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, he's going to come
We're
in.
We're okay with
yes.
him.
Yeah. He's going to come in and be good.
He'll be a hero.
And so then they are like, we want to go explore. And the mom's like, well, you got to unpack your room first.
Yeah.
And they stuff all their boxes into the closet.
So cute. Yeah.
And then they're like, we're done. And she's like, that was 27 seconds. Yeah. But they go out to the backyard. And this is when they see the fort in the backyard, which is really cool. It's like this like little house.
Mm-hmm.
And they go inside. Oh, well, first they see the turtle.
Mm-hmm.
What was his name? Sherman?
Sherman.
No, not Sherman.
No, it was that.
It wasn't Sherman. But I get that instinct.
Samson. It was Samson.
Very biblical.
Yeah.
Very biblical.
Yeah. He was chained up, which is really sad.
Did you get that? Like
on
they,
the show?
They
who chained him?
Who drilled
the
a hole?
The fucking people who used to live
Marshalls?
There. The Marshalls.
Yeah, but who drilled a hole in his freaking shell so they
Mr.
could
Marshall
chain
did.
Him?
Ugh.
Okay. Well, you know what? So there was this moment when they moved in.
Yeah.
That. The king rips the Marshall sign off the door.
Yeah.
And then he walks in, and then there's like this pulled back establishing shot of the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the sign is still on. And I was like, Easter egg.
Yeah,
it was just a little moment they missed that I wanted to talk about.
You want to call him out?
Yep.
Yeah.
Also,
it was a goof.
It was a goof.
According to IMDb, a goof.
Have we mentioned that a Baldwin plays the king?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A Baldwin plays the king.
Oh, yeah. Put that together.
And he said that I think I read somewhere on IMDb that he hated that character so much that he never wanted to play a character like that ever again.
I bet.
Yeah.
I would not.
That makes sense.
That is a dark, tough role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Props. Honestly, like he deserves props.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. he did a fantastic job with it.
Also,
but so dark.
Yeah.
Like even like on set when you're an actor, a kid actor, like you're still scared of those people.
Totally.
So when you break, it's like you have to be like, no, I'm fine.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that must have been hard too.
Yeah. It must have been He must be a really good guy if he was.
It usually is, right? It's usually like on TV shows when there's like that one really bitchy character. They're like, she's actually the nicest.
Yes. I mean, I think you have to, especially since like you're doing that in the work. You have to be like, that's just the work. I'm very, very separate from that.
Every time there's like interviews, it's like, oh my God, no, she's like actually the nicest.
What's so crazy is like she's the best person.
She's the nicest. She buys us all gifts, you know? It's always like that.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so then they move to this new place. They find the bank under a loose floorboard. Mm-hmm. And there's no money in it. Drat. But then they're like, let's not tell anyone about this. Mm-hmm. And they're going to, that's where they're going to put their money.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it also foreshadows what's about to happen.
Totally.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then this is when they talk about the seven things that make a kid a kid. But once you turn 13, it kind of disappears. That magic disappears.
Why did they say the like the logic behind that?
I don't know.
Puberty?
Oh, yeah. Cause
I think they did.
Yeah, because then your mind turns to the opposite sex.
That's right.
Yes. That's what Tom Hanks says.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Heteronormative, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why I was like, flag. But I was like, okay, I guess so. But also, this kind of reminded me of the Polar Express, how there's that bell that you can hear when you're a kid, but then once you become an adult.
Oh, that's so right. Yeah,
yeah, you can't hear it anymore. Yeah. Yeah.
The best time of the year when everyone comes home. You guys don't know it?
The Polar Express?
Is that the Polar Express musical?
It's like the heartwarming. Well, it existed in the movie. I want to make a live version of that musical. I think
I come from a time where I knew the book before the movie.
Okay, book before the movie? Okay.
Tom Hanks is in that.
Yeah, he is. Oh my God, he's a conductor.
Yeah. He's a lot of characters in that movie.
Oh yeah, is he also Santa?
He's Santa. He's also like the creepy guy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He plays a lot of the adult characters.
God, he's such a good actor.
Wait, I just had a thought. Yeah. You know how they're redoing Lord of the Rings on Amazon or whatever? Yeah, they're redoing it as a TV series.
Oh wow. Ooh.
Yeah, so it's going to be like way bigger than the Peter Jackson films.
Wow.
Tom Hanks should be freaking Gandalf. Like he's of the age.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And he's like, we should make that happen. To have that like older wise wizard role.
Yeah. We should make that. We should make that happen.
He should do that. But the seven things that make you a kid.
Yes, please.
Animals can talk.
Absolutely.
You believe
they can.
That. You believe that your favorite blanket is like a force field.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You believe that nothing is too heavy to lift with a cape on.
Yes.
That was cute how they showed that. With the
your handguns shoot actual fire, like bullets.
Mm-hmm.
Jumping from anywhere with an umbrella is okay. You can fly. Monsters exist, and you still believe in the ability to fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, rad.
All those things sound like improv rules to me.
Yeah, yeah. Except for the handgun thing, because you're not supposed
to. No, that's bad.
Finger guns are bad.
Finger guns are bad.
You have to hold it like a real. Like you have
to
hold
unless you're trying to be like a cool guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to be a cool guy,
like, hey, how are you doing?
Hey.
Then it's like a POV choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But POV. It was cool when they showed that one where they like shot and that kid's like bike broke. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it was just because there was like a nail.
Happenstance.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That was fun.
I like those.
I like when that happens.
Mm-hmm. I liked this moment because it very much like laid out the like magical elements of this movie.
Yeah.
Like as... Like, it sort of clarified the logic a little bit. Like, we will see a lot of these images that don't make logical sense, but we are to understand that these are from the child's perspective.
Yeah.
Right? That's why they appear, like magical or not of this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
I like that.
Totally. No, I love that. I love that you love
the
that.
Monster one was real scary. When they're like monsters.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was like the wind and they were like looking.
They're so cute. When I mean, I for sure did that with my sister.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I shared a room with my sister growing up.
Oh, yeah.
And now I share a room with her again. It's fun. But I just when I go home.
Yeah.
But you do that. You're like so scared of something. And then you're like, I'm going to go do it. And then I'm going to run back into bed. Okay. And you're going to hold me. You're going to make sure that you're there so I can have somebody to fall back on. Right.
Yeah.
And then you do it and you feel like a superhuman. Exactly like the movie.
It's adrenaline rush.
Adrenaline.
And then this is when Bobby has a nightmare about the king.
Yeah.
Because he has nightmares about him hurting him. Because he's only hurting him. He's not hurting Mike at all.
Yeah.
Because Mike can fight for himself, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the kind of the theory that they have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then so they decide to stay out all day to avoid him. So they stay out and they explore, and then they come home right at dinner time when it's safe, kind of.
Yeah.
And then we see a scene where Bobby and Mike are watching TV very late, and the king comes out and he's like, "What are you doing? You need to go to bed." And then so they both start walking to bed, and he's like, "Bobby, come here." And then he makes Bobby come back, and he beats him basically. God. And then Mike is like listening to it, and it's just really heartbreaking.
It's really sad.
But then this is when Mike has the dream about the buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The buffalo comes in to his bedroom and like talks to him.
Yeah, like through the window. It's like,
well, it's so funny because he was like, "Well, how did you get here?" And he's like, "Well, through the window."
He didn't say that. Yeah. That's exactly the voice. It's like, "Oh,
Pete, did you? Was that you?"
I did star in this movie as the animatronic buffalo.
Wow. It's very funny. He basically like makes him, he's like, "You have to protect your brother," kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I love the question that Elijah Wood asked the buffalo.
Yeah.
Which was, why isn't this happening to me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, why is this happening to Bobby? Why isn't this happening to me? I could take this.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
for me, it was like the buffalo was like, you just have to help Bobby find the answer in himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know that your dreams are basically your inner self. Yeah.
So oh my God, dream theory is fascinating.
Yeah. So it's like he already knows this. He's just like being told by his buffalo self.
Yeah.
Hey, we all need a buffalo self.
Yeah.
But this is when I was like, oh, Bobby's really smart.
This is a really pivotal scene in my overall theory of the movie.
Oh.
Yes.
This is where I think the split happens.
Split? Mm. What split?
I have this theory. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Drop this. Yeah. Really
cool. I think I'm gonna drop it.
Yeah.
This is a good time. I think there's just one boy the entire movie.
Whoa.
And what we see as two boys is childhood and then like adolescent versions of the same boy.
Oh.
Yeah. And I think it's like, yeah. That's my theory.
I fuck with that theory. I do. I also have another theory, but
I do have another theory, but I don't think they necessarily combat each other.
They don't. They both could be.
They could coexist.
They could coexist, but I'll drop mine when we get there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh boy, I'm excited.
Because I needed to make sense of the ending, which we will get to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of theories about the ending.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to hear. Oh, yeah. I can't wait to hear.
I love. I love.
And so this is when they start making money. They sell golf balls.
Yes.
And then they recycle bottles.
Yes.
And this is a funny scene where
the dog
there like have all these bottles on the counter, and then Shane keeps coming in with more bottles. Shane and they're the like, dog. "Wow, thank you." And then they follow him, and he's actually pulling the bottles out and bringing them to them.
Yeah, like out from the store.
Yeah.
Store like background.
Yeah.
So, like reselling the bottles to the guy at the store.
Yeah, and they're like, "Oops, sorry." Like,
sorry, it was a dog.
It's very funny.
It wasn't us.
But they put all their money into their bank, and they're like getting really excited. Mm-hmm. And then this is when he's like, "Wow, we could buy so much." And he's like, "No. We can't." Like, Bobby gets like very serious.
He does get serious.
Yeah. They're all like so stoked about all this money. And then all of a sudden he's like, "No, we can't buy
things. We have to save it."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very weird.
And it was just like the sunlight on the eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like off camera. Like, he's looking off into the distance.
We have to save it.
Yeah. It's like, okay. And then this is when they're like walking through the neighborhood with their radio flyer, and then the other kids in the neighborhood come up and they like start beating them,
which is like pretty racist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because all the kids were speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
And it was very much like.
Well, the first group, because I felt that same way. Yeah. I was like, oh, these are all brown kids and they're the aggressive ones.
Yeah. I was like, why are we doing this?
But then the second time around, there were more of them.
Yeah.
And there were white people in there, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was questionable.
It was still like, it made me think of like kind of the whole point of the movie, which is like, kids act the way that their parents act because that's what they see, you know? And it was like Bobby acted the way that his mom acted, you know, because the mom kind of just like, I feel like the mom felt it was her fault as well, even though it wasn't. Or you act like in spite of your parents, like you act like the opposite. And Elijah Wood was the opposite. And then those kids, it was like, you think about like, okay, well, if they're the bad kids on the block, then like, how the do you think they grew up? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And especially in like, you know, a family, like a suburban family where like shit goes on behind the walls, you know, like, I don't know. I was just like, what are you saying by doing this? Like that, like all brown people have like fucked up family homes. You
I
know?
Think that's exactly like, what the script intention was.
I mean, it's just like, or maybe I'm like just putting that on it. But like, I don't know. It felt
like the choice would have been different had it been made nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, like the casting choice would have been made differently.
Yeah. But it also still is the same, you know, like,
yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. The movie still exists.
The movie still exists.
And it's a bad, it was a bad choice.
Bad choice.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like also a thing where like nowadays they're like, let's add diversity for the sake of diversity. And then they accidentally put diversity in the wrong roles that make them look worse.
It's bullshit,
totally.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know.
We had a situation like that. My high school did the musical parade. It was a super white.
For sure.
Like conservative Catholic high school in the middle of the Midwest. And there's a lot of black roles in it.
Yeah.
And so my theater director was like a theater director in Chicago. So she knew a lot of black people who were theater actors in Chicago. And so she literally had to bring actors on from outside the school be in our high school production because they were black. But the black roles are all the villains.
Oh, no.
And it was just like, okay, we're like making this huge step to like have a more diverse cast.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, what message is it sending? You know?
Yeah, so totally.
It's challenging.
Yeah.
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 Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. But also the guy who like had the biggest role that was black, he like nailed, like he was phenomenal.
He was
so good.
But and like how cool for a high school to have that experience.
I know, and you know, like for me, I really looked up to him. So it was like it was actually a cool moment for me, but
totally
like, I don't know.
But like what does it say?
Yeah.
It's good questions. Yeah. Good questions.
Yeah.
I
don't know the answers.
Can I draw our attention back to like a little moment earlier in the movie that I wrote down? They pass like this is during their moving sequence.
Yeah.
They're like walking into a store. And they, or maybe it was the carnival, and they pass by a thing, and they're like, oh, I want to get one of those. And it says, like, this toy is, like, 50 cents. And then Bobby just goes, Mom can't afford that. And then they, like, move on.
It was at the Buffalo place.
Yeah, at the Buffalo place.
It was
place.
Why the nice old cowboy let them in for free.
Yeah.
Because
it was 25 cents each to look at the buffalo, and then their mom was like, oh, we don't have that. And then he's like, you can go in for free. So then they go in, and that's when he's like, ooh, 50 cents. He's like, Mom can't afford that.
Yeah. What I, like, okay, I don't know. This is me.
I can't afford that.
I get real tired of the narrative of like the single mom like sob story like because I was raised by a single mom and I have such joyful memories of it and anytime I see it depicted on film it's like
sad.
There's
the worst
trauma
thing.
And it's sad and the kids are fucked up and it's like there's some of that for sure but it's about how you like I don't know like respond to it and like there's so much joy in my childhood, despite
like,
some of the challenges that I like, anytime I see that, it kind of rubs me the wrong way.
That moment was definitely a rub you the wrong way kind of moment.
Yeah.
I think it was supposed to show that Mike was more aware of things because he had just witnessed his mom not being able to pay, and then Bobby immediately was like, "Let's get it," and he's like, "Mom can't pay for that." We just saw her say she doesn't have money.
That's fair.
But
that's
I don't know. It was a very like funny moment, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it was just like so
serious for a little child.
Yeah.
You're moving to California. Like you know, you're gonna have to make some money.
And also they could afford a lot of peanut butter.
They sure could.
Yeah.
They sure could.
I don't know.
Yeah. Sorry to bring us back so far, but I'm like going through my checklist of stuff
that you really want to talk about.
Yeah, and I'm doing pretty well. So
okay, good.
I'll shut up for a while.
Yeah.
But
never shut up. I love when you speak.
Yeah. Okay,
thanks.
Say whatever. We can jump around.
Thank you.
Yeah. Jump around. Jump around.
But Mike gets beat up by the neighborhood kids, and that's when the sheriff comes by and he's like, "Hey,
what's going on?"
Yeah, and he tries to help them, and then he kind of notices that there's something going on, so he gives his card to the kids and is like, "You guys can call me whenever. Are you sure you're okay?" Mm-hmm. He like can sense that there's something wrong.
Totally.
Because also earlier, like, I don't remember when, but the king basically, when the sheriff comes up and greets them at first, the king...
He like turns the other way.
Yeah, he turns the other way and throws the sign, the for sale sign on the ground and like grabs a beer and walks away. So it's like, you can tell that he's trash.
Yeah.
And then this is when they get the anti-monster spell.
Yep.
And they, because they're so excited, they got it in the mail. And
that
so
one
they,
broke my heart.
I know. So
it
they,
was really cute.
So they put together this anti-monster spell in the kitchen. And it's just like a bunch of gross stuff that they're cooking. And
yeah,
I imagine
like macaroni and hamburger meat.
Yeah.
But like not.
Yeah, they were like, you need zombie brains. And then they
like, hamburger meat.
Hamburger meat.
Yeah. And then like poop too.
Yeah, oh, turtle poop.
Manure.
Yeah, they're like
manure.
Yeah.
That was fabulously acted. That scene I thought was one of the best scenes in the
it's
movie
very
performance
cute
wise.
And funny.
It is cute.
They're
yeah.
discovering the thoughts.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
And then at the conclusion of the scene, it's so funny. Bobby's like, "I need to go to the bathroom." And then Mikey's like,
I'm gonna watch some TV.
Yeah. It was just like clear setup of this
like something's about to go wrong.
Yeah. So they leave this pot cooking while they're watching the Three Stooges
with all this shitty stuff in it.
Yeah.
And there is a pressure monitor
and it's
attached
on,
to this pot.
Boiling up to the point where there's a moment in the Three Stooges where they light a bomb and it's like they hear the pot cooking and they're like, "Oh no," and they go look at it and it's like shaking and they're like, turn it off, but it doesn't matter because it's about to explode.
Yeah.
And just as the bomb and the Three Stooges explode, so does the pot in the kitchen. It goes everywhere.
Yeah.
That must have been a bitch of a shot to get.
Yeah. Like, and it also probably smelled bad.
Probably smelled so bad.
In the movie.
What they like.
Yeah.
Well, it was probably chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like filming it. Yeah. But,
yeah,
like,
but
for the characters.
In the character, it was like, it was like heated up shit and meat, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for those kids, because they are like stuck in that reality.
And
of, like,
marbles, too.
And
right?
marbles, yeah.
So
those
like
were the
plastic?
Eyes or whatever.
Yeah.
Or maybe, I don't know what the marbles were made of.
I didn't know.
I don't know. It's gross. And so it goes everywhere, and they're like, "Oh no." They're like, "Let's clean it up. We hope that mom gets home first because she'll be more forgiving than the king." Who, So they clean it up.
And they made that potion
because
they were going to try and poison the king.
Like ward off the king.
Ward off the king. Yeah.
And so Bobby puts a little in the jar.
He's like, "We have to save some in case the king comes home first."
Yeah.
It's very sad. But they're really good at cleaning up. They clean up that whole kitchen.
Dude, they did a good
job.
Those
are good cleaner kids.
The only sign was that Bobby's hair was a little wet. Like, even if the king had walked in, the only sign of anything going wrong was Bobby's hair was wet.
I mean, I've definitely done that before where I've made a mess as a kid and I'm like, "Oh shit." And then you go into like super cleanup mode. Nothing happened. I didn't do anything.
For sure. I had a moment like that with nachos that my mom came home and she was like really upset.
Do tell.
I like me and my friend Andrew made our own nachos and they were like gross.
Yeah,
it was like cheese and then like a bunch of spices and stuff and we put that in the oven and then they burnt. And then we put like everything we had in the fridge that we thought would taste good on them. And then we ate them all, obviously. But we like didn't clean up. It was
very bad.
It was really bad. And I was like too old to be doing that.
To be doing
I was like fifth grade.
Too old.
Yeah, way too old.
Too old.
Way too old.
Well, they clean it up and then they're like, that was the one time I was happy that the king went to the garage.
That's right.
It was the only time you'd ever be happy to watch the king go and get drunk.
Yeah. And then they decide to leave the cable that the king uses to beat up Bobby in the oven to hide it. And then this is when so Mike is playing with Bobby and then the neighborhood kids come and they're like, "Hey, we're gonna play football or whatever. We need one more." And so Mike is like, "Okay." So then he leaves Bobby alone
and Bobby's like
big
pissed.
Mistake.
He's upset.
Yeah.
And it's a bad idea because the neighborhood kids beat up Mike.
But Mike pushes through.
Yeah, he pushes through and he's able to score a touchdown. And then the kids are kind of like, they're
the group is like for Mike.
Yeah.
And then the leader of the group is like, nah, man, you're a cheater. You're a cheater. And he's like, I didn't cheat. F you. And then he kicks him in the balls.
Yeah.
I'm like, go, Mike.
And then he says something about should have worn a cup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know. That was such a good line. Yeah. Maybe you should start wearing a cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But while this is happening, the king is home and he turns on the oven and it starts smoking and he realizes that they put the cable or whatever in the oven. Mm-hmm. And so he goes to find Bobby and Bobby is like scared and hiding in the fort.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden we see Bobby and then we see a light and we know that he's been found. Mm-hmm. And so then he beats him up. And then we also see later the king is opening a beer and that's when Shane attacks him.
Yep.
The dog.
Yeah. Shane the dog attacks him. And that's
Shane.
Mike comes racing home and then he's looking around for Bobby and he can't find him anywhere. And then that's when we reveal that... the king got arrested. He's in jail. And then Bobby is in the hospital getting beaten because he got beat up by the king.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you kind of are like, oh, relief. The king is in jail now.
Yeah.
And the mom finally knows what's going on.
Finally. Mm-hmm. That's what's so crazy is that the mom was like not registering this the whole movie.
Yeah.
I have a lot of problems with the mom character in this movie.
I know. You really you really did.
Yeah. I don't think she was like written really well.
No.
Because she has no... I feel like she has no agency the whole movie.
Yeah.
Like in its...
Yes, until that moment.
Yeah.
Which is why that moment was so pivotal for me looking at her character.
Gotcha.
I thought her performance was...
Mm-hmm.
incredible.
Yeah.
Because she really showed like what that must have been like because women don't have a lot of agency sometimes. I mean, we do, but we feel like we don't, which I think is what the mom felt, you know.
Mm-hmm. What was her job?
She was a waitress. So like if she's a waitress in her, I don't know, what was she, 30s, 40s in this? Probably not 40s.
Yeah.
She was on the younger side.
Yeah.
But like so we look at that time, it looks like, okay, so she probably doesn't have a college degree because like one of the only jobs she can get is a waiter. So what was her background like? You know, it's like all that she had to go through. She got left by this guy with two kids that she had to move cross country with, you know? So it's like, she probably is like really tired and didn't really want to deal with the harsh reality that she had been in. And then in this moment when it's like finally been like, this is bad and you have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
She fucking shifts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. That was my thing, but I get it as well. I get the other side completely.
Totally. I was waiting for there to be some tie-in of like, oh, this guy abuses her as well.
Yeah.
And like that maybe she like that she hasn't noticed or she hasn't confronted it because it's been happening to her as well. And she's kind of also quiet, but that never materialized for me.
Mm-mm.
And it just seemed to me like, I guess top of my intelligence, I was like, oh, this mom, even if she's working a lot, would like,
no,
see like that scene with the tub. She has to have seen her kid without his shirt on.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Scene. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When he like holds his shirt on and he's like, he doesn't want to show his mom. Like, I don't know. Well,
that's why Elijah saved him, because he was like, we're going to get in with our clothes on.
I know. I guess it just bothers me. I feel like she would have definitely seen it. You know, I don't think she was a bad mom.
No, she's great. She got him out.
I mean, it's got to be hard when you aren't realizing what's in front of your face and then you're told and then you flash back to all those things and it's like the signs were all there, but I missed them completely.
Yeah.
Because I was also lying to myself because I'm sure she was like, the king has come in and he's like basically saved our family.
Yes.
Totally. Because that was like what
happened
in her narrative in her mind. You know?
Yeah. She probably knew he was a drunk, obviously.
Yeah.
But then she was kind of just ignoring it. It was like, oh, he's just a drunk.
And we don't hear a lot about the other dad, so maybe she sees the king as like a lesser of two evils or something.
Absolutely.
And he helped fix a bike at least or whatever.
And
you know,
and
so.
You know what? He stayed. He was present the whole time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though he wasn't really present, he was like physically
was there.
Physically there, yeah.
But he's in jail and she
finally
she gets a phone call from him and it's kind of revealed that his mother has passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets temp leave from jail to go to her funeral, and he comes back home, and like, and we like see pleads. Him. Yeah, we see him walking with flowers and presents.
Ooh,
for
this
the
shot that was like it. Chilling
yeah.
for me.
Yeah, and yeah. everyone's like shocked, and like she kind of has a moment where she's just like, she forgives him, and like either it's Tom Hanks' narration that's like, it, like you don't understand it, but it's just something that like
men and women. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah. And it's just sad because he's back. And then she says that like he's changed. He's not drinking anymore. Mm-hmm. He promises not to do that. But we all know yeah. he's going to do
it. He goes right back at yeah. it. Which yeah. is why then that other scene where she comes back in and she's like, you promise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That one was like, oh, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel for you.
Back so to that promise sad. Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
promise thing.
Yeah.
Totally. But
they go see Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
They do.
And that's when they get the idea to build a flyer yes. for Bobby so he can escape.
Yep.
Yeah. So they have a whole scene of them like building this flyer.
That they like genuinely believe.
Yes.
That Bobby's going to get on.
Yeah.
And escape away. Because yeah. Bobby's the one getting beaten up and not Mike. So Mike can stay and take care of Mom.
Well, yeah. And like think about it like a little bit like... Bobby getting abused like this, mm-hmm. he's getting his childhood robbed from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this flyer for him is his way to escape back into his childhood.
Yeah.
Because it was already robbed
totally.
From him.
Totally.
Whereas he's about to lose it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's getting older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. And Mikey has the luxury of like living a childhood
yeah.
without it.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, but is the older brother. So it's like, it's this super interesting dynamic. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
But then the king finds out that they're taking his tools, and so he beats them up again.
Yeah.
And it's like he's right back to where he was. And then we see them, they're like at school, I think. Where were they?
They're at school. Yeah.
And their stomachs are hurting.
Yeah.
Because they know yeah. something is going on.
Yes.
I thought, part of me was like, oh my God, did the king poison them?
That's what I thought too. I was like, did they drink the monster?
Yeah.
Potion.
Oh, you guys, this is the childhood intuition I'm talking about.
Okay.
You've never had that happen to you?
No.
I have had that happen to me when I gut feeling know something is going wrong. And then I get a phone call and something's like da 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 da.
I've only seen that in movies. I've never actually experienced
Rachel Chapman, I swear to God, I've experienced it.
Oh, wow.
I swear to God.
Guess I'm not as intuitive.
Well, yes, I am very intuitive.
You are so intuitive. You are very intuitive.
Yeah.
Or I just think I am and I'm making shit up in my
no,
brain.
No, I believe it. I've just never experienced it myself. Mm-hmm.
The closest I got to that was like one day I was like in fourth grade and it was snowing and we were having a snowball fight after school. Mm-hmm. And I like threw a snowball through a church window and I broke it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh my God, my mom's going to kill me. She's picking me up in 5 minutes. She comes and she's like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. And she's being super nice to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, something's about to go down. Like she has something worse she needs to tell me that she's not getting upset about this.
Oh, no.
And I get home and she's like, so unfortunately your frog passed away today.
No. Oh no, unfortunately your frog passed away.
Yep.
So unfortunate.
But so I like knew, I knew something was amiss, but I don't know. I don't know if that's quite the same thing. Cause there were like legit signs that I saw.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah.
I can tell you, I miss everything. The day that my dad died, I called my mom to be like, I'm eating a Whopper. Oh my God, you guys.
Oh my God, really? God.
Yeah, and I was just like talking about Whoppers and like, I'm at this great gas station. They have dinosaurs everywhere. Mom, it's so cool.
Oh my God.
And she like didn't want to tell me because I was driving.
Yeah.
And so she just was like playing along. Well, at this moment, my dad had just passed. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And then later I'm like, get to my hotel room and I'm like in my hotel room and I FaceTime like I had done every day. And I was like, hey guys, what's up? And like my sister and my mom and they're like,
they had
really,
like that look.
Yeah. And I was like, oh no.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I completely missed all of the signs.
Oh my gosh. Oh my God. Well, it's only in retrospect that you see that.
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
Like,
totally.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man, I talked about eating a Whopper at a gas station. oh my gosh.
But you know what? I'm sure they appreciated that in that moment. Yeah. They were like, oh, light. Some light. Thank God for light.
Yeah.
How old were you? Do you mind me asking?
I was 25.
You were 25. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, I haven't had a Whopper in so long.
Yeah.
I was driving from Florida to California. It was when I was moving
here.
So
when you were moving here?
Oh, yeah. My God.
Rachel Chapman.
Yeah. And then while I was in the hotel room when I FaceTimed them, Teen Beach 2, the movie, was on the TV.
Oh, my God.
It's like you always expect something like really like emotional, you know, meaningful playing. Like music was playing, like a certain song that was like very meaningful.
Teen Beach 2, the sequel.
Yeah. So bad. And I was like, this is the worst moment. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I mean, it's a funny story now.
I was going to say, those things were there for you in the moment. Yeah. Because it was like a reminder of how you cope, which is like using comedy and lightheartedness.
Yeah.
So you'll remember those funny, goofy things.
I know. I was like, I wanted it to be like a movie moment, but it was really just like...
I mean, it kind of was movie. I mean, kind of was like this movie moment.
Honestly,
this
would be the Rachel Chapman movie.
This would be the Rachel Chapman high flyer kind of situation.
Very funny.
TBS.
No, but it's like, it's that thing of like, the escapism, and we need it sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like you need to just let yourself.
We encounter
kind of
it on the Biggest Scoop all the time.
Because
all the news we talk about is
so
sad
depressing.
It's just depressing.
Because the world is like a bummer sometimes.
And the way we usually handle it is by making bad jokes.
Yeah,
I love bad jokes.
But bad jokes can sometimes turn into good jokes.
Yeah, that's true.
And then good jokes equal laughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then that equals money.
Mm. Yeah, laughter equals money.
That's why I started in comedy.
Yeah, to make money.
Yeah.
I do this to make money.
So they come running home, mm-hmm. and we see that the king has starts drinking, and Shane kind of goes to attack him again.
Yep. The dog, Shane the dog.
Shane the dog. And
Shane sounds like such a human name.
Yeah.
Say his full name.
Say his full name.
Shane the dog.
I'm also a big full name person, so I have to do it.
And they come running home, and they see blood on the
walls.
Yeah. And then they're like worried, and they see Shane in the back, and they think that he's dead because he's like,
he looks super
bloody.
Dead.
But then relief, he's alive, he's fine, he's mm-hmm. just very hurt. And then that's when they're like, we gotta go, we gotta do this. So they write a letter to their mom, and they're like, mom, we went to the wishing rock. What was it? Wishing spot. It's like
wishing
a
spot. Wishing spot.
Yeah, it's like a cliff where you go and you make wishes. Yeah,
absolutely. Yes, we've all had it.
So like, we went there, Bobby's not coming back, don't worry, he'll be fine, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they leave with their flyer. They stop at a gas station and they get gas. And they meet Fisher. He like gives them a Jackie Robinson card, which I guess is a big deal.
Yeah, I think it was like they did like a semi shot of it in the beginning of like him like, this is my token of safety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they find out it's Fisher because the guy comes out and he's like, hey, Fish. Blah, 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 blah.
He's got a call for you inside.
Yeah. And so then he comes, he limps over because he broke his foot.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see a newspaper clipping that says like Fisher flies or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, Tom Hanks in narration mentions that Fisher had failed flying all the way because he was older.
Mm-hmm.
He was 14 at the time. So he didn't have those 7 magical things that a kid has.
Yeah.
So that's why Bobby will succeed. And then this is when the king comes home and he's like getting drunk and he finds a letter and he opens it.
Which is not addressed to him.
Yeah.
It was addressed to mom.
It's illegal.
That's illegal.
Yeah. He reads it and he sees that they go to the wishing spot. So then he goes to the wishing spot.
Well, actually, I have a question. No, I don't think it's illegal.
No.
I don't
opening other people's letters that are not your name is super illegal.
Well, if it's postmarked, if it's like officially.
Yeah.
And
but
it wasn't.
That was
pretty official. I don't know.
I thought it was official.
I didn't see a stamp. I think in a court of law, I would win this argument.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you know, it's, you win, but it's still sad.
It's wrong. It's ethically wrong. I'll say that.
Yes.
I will concede.
Okay.
I'll concede.
Ethically wrong. We like that.
Yeah.
So they're at the wishing rock. They're about to go. And then there's this big rock in the way and he can't get it. And then also, by the way, Shane the dog, Samson the turtle are all going to go with Bobby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then this is when they're like trying to move the rock. And then all of a sudden, the scariest thing ever.
Oh,
I legit screamed.
I jumped.
The king shows up and he kind of like is like attacking them, and then that's when Mike fights back, and then
like, fuck you,
yeah, and he kicks him, and then he's able to get the rock out of the way because so Shane comes out and he starts attacking him too, and then he starts to go, and then the flyer hits the king in the head and knocks him out.
I was like, yeah,
yeah. And while this is happening, the mom comes home, finds the letter, and starts racing.
And she has that scene where she's like, "You promise," because she finds all the beer and she like sees that there's like still blood on the walls a little bit.
And then she arrives with the sheriff but this is when Bobby like he is going and then he shoots off into the sky and then we think that he's like starts to go down and that's when he pulls these little levers and then he starts flying and he flew away
it was a really satisfying moment
when it worked.
It also reminded me a lot of E.T. because he's wearing like a red hoodie.
There were a lot of like
homages.
Then you see him flying and it kind of looks like when they're against the moon type thing. And so he flies away, he's on the walkie talkie and he's like, take care of Shane the dog and take care of mom.
Also the scene like right before he loads up onto the thing is like just like those are two kids acting that scene and they are crying and it is gorgeous.
It's so good.
It's just so real and like what you the level in which you feel at that age.
And that was that's the end of this one boy's childhood right there. Because that is that boy.
If we're going on your theory.
If we're going off my theory, that is the end of his childhood because that's his capstone. And what happens at the same moment he takes off is Mikey decides to fight back. And so it's like in that same moment. That's the moment where I think Mikey becomes like a man, quote.
Adult.
You know, in quote, adult.
And then his mom shows him and he's like, where's Bobby?
And he's like, it's okay. He flew away.
It's like, if I were that mom.
And the mom's like so chill.
She'd be like, what the fuck?
But she played it very chill.
Also, well, and they flash forward and it's like, she's still chill about it.
But they do say that she like I keep telling her that he's fine and she won't believe me until the postcard, the first postcard shows up. And it's from Bobby and he's like at that buffalo spot. He's like, don't worry, I'm fine.
Which is where my theory comes in.
Okay, here we go.
My theory is that that was then the mom's journey of letting go. And the mom was the one who continued to send the postcards over the years.
To
Elijah
Mike.
Wood. To Mike.
Wow.
Because then that was the mom's way of being, because the mom's whole thing, if you look at the mom's POV, she did everything for her kids. She did everything for those two boys. And that is still what she would be doing in that moment, because it was like she didn't believe me, she didn't know what I was saying until the postcard came.
Let's get to the dark implications of your theory.
Oh my god, what?
Which are that in your theory, Bobby flies off and then crashes at the airport and dies.
Well, that's what would happen if it was real and he did do that.
For sure.
If a kid tried to make
tried to launch off a flyer head.
Yeah.
Like they would crash and
die.
Yeah.
And it would be brutal and sad. And that's the reality of what would happen.
Totally.
If that child were to do that.
Totally.
Yeah. So then they would have that would have been a really impossible thing for Mike to deal with at that age, you know? After everything he'd been through.
So her mom pretends, instead of his brother dying, she concocts this narrative that he lives on just elsewhere, kind of like when your dog dies.
Exactly.
It's at a farm estate.
Exactly.
The only thing
I see your judgy eyes. And well, I want everybody to walk the audience through this theory.
When Bobby and Mike are suiting up to for Bobby to fly away, he's like, I gave you a bunch of stamps for postcards. So then that's where I'm like, the mom didn't know about those stamps. But then if he had crashed, they would have found the stamps in the rubble of the crash. And then that's
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And the mom would have lied to her son.
Yeah.
And said, your brother didn't die.
Yeah. Even though you saw him crash.
Why else would they do the postcards bit at the end?
To what? Make you believe it was true.
So who's sending the postcards?
Bobby.
To
Mike.
Okay.
To himself.
I mean, as a big believer in magic and life as I am, I can't believe that. I can't believe.
That's a step too far.
Well, the different theories that people have come up with.
Yeah. What are the theories? Yeah.
Is that Bobby actually left.
Yeah.
There's another one that Bobby crashed and died.
Okay.
And then there's another one that Bobby died from all of the abuse. And that was just like a metaphor.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah.
I could totally see number three.
I still have the question of who's sending the postcards.
Yeah. The post, I don't know anything about the, apparently the postcard ending was different than the original ending where Tom Hanks takes his kids to a flight error museum.
Oh, yeah.
And they see an airplane with the flyer next to it. Mm-hmm. And then in that you see like an image of Bobby, the kid, sitting in like the flyer that's suspended in air.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Oh, I like that.
Well, that's fun.
But they changed it.
Yeah.
I don't. Why would they change
it? I don't know. I sort of liked the ending.
Yeah. I mean, it was super makes you think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes you think.
Yeah. Because ultimately, this is a story about somebody's childhood who was robbed. Like getting robbed of their childhood, right?
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. And so I think whether it's two boys or one boy or he dies. Like, that's ultimately what the story is about.
Totally. Yeah. Agreed.
And the flyer leaving is sort of the end of that.
It's absolutely a metaphor.
Of childhood. Yeah.
And then.
Yes. Agreed. Big time agree.
There's also another thing that confuses me, because then we go back to the future where it's Tom Hanks talking to these kids and they're like, they are not interested in the story at all. Yeah.
They're like, I have a lot of questions.
Yeah. And then that's when the kid is like, is this how we got Samson the Turtle? And Tom Hanks is kind of like, yeah, sure. And he's like, pinky promise. He's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So then that's where I'm like, if Samson was supposed to be with Bobby, then that makes me think that maybe your theories are true, that Bobby did die and Samson survived, or that Bobby and Mike are the same and that Samson the Turtle has always been there.
Yeah. Or
Tom,
or both Bobby and the turtle died.
Yes.
Tom Hanks bought another turtle to remember him by.
Yeah.
And doesn't want to tell his kids the brutal truth of what happened.
So it
leads us to the another question of sometimes you have to lie to kids to keep their childhood alive.
Oh, wow. Because those kids did not care at all.
Yeah,
those kids didn't care.
No, they couldn't care less.
Yeah.
There's a quote at the beginning that sticks out to me. And
there was a good quote.
Yeah, but it's stories in the hands of the teller. Truth is in the telling.
Yeah.
And so seeing that this is a movie built around a narrative, a story that Tom Hanks is telling.
Totally.
I think we have to think about that a lot, too.
Yeah, wait. That, can you read the quote one more time?
Story is in the hands of the teller.
Story is in the hands
of the teller.
The teller. Mm-hmm. So Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Like the person who tells it is in charge of the, the
way
the story
absolutely
goes.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I agree.
Truth is in the telling.
So
in the way you tell the story, that's the truth.
So whatever he says is true, basically.
Well, it's
I think it's how he says it, right?
Okay.
Well, I think it's him admitting like there's a difference between like what actually happened and like larger truths that I'm trying to communicate to you guys.
A lot of what,
I'm into that.
A lot of his quotes were very much just like Instagram captions. You know?
Yes, yeah.
Like, it was like a lot of these are. A lot of these are like really make you think. And
like hashtag self-care.
Yeah. It's like,
that's so true.
I was like, I would totally write this down and like, you know, put it on my Pinterest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, history is all in the mind of the teller. Truth is all in the telling. Then you can't just say, I promise, then forget about it. I promise are the most important words you'll ever say. Well, almost the most important words you'll ever say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that
other
one,
than
that
I
one
love
was
you?
Good. Yeah, I love
you.
Yeah. Hey, I love you guys.
I love you.
and he said that. He furthered that quote, the promise one.
Yeah.
At the end.
At
when
the
he
end,
says
he's
lasts
like,
forever.
Yeah, it's like it's how you keep it is what matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which is like kind of what he did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He kept the promise because he...
Maybe he broke it.
Yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But this movie makes you think.
This is a thinker.
This is a thinker.
This was a really... I really liked it.
It's a feeler, too.
It's a feeler for sure.
Well, now that shocked me.
We finished it. Do you guys want to rate it?
Yeah, let's rate it.
Okay,
let's
out of five Tom Hankses, how many Tom Hankses do you give Radio Flyer?
4.5.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's such a high rating.
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I give it three.
Three?
Three Tom Hankses.
Yeah. Mm.
Just because there's not enough Tom Hankses for me to give it five Tom Hankses.
Totally fair. Totally fair. Yeah.
But the movie, like, if we're going stars, I'd probably give it like a four.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but Tom Hankses, I gotta give it a three because I need more.
Oh, okay.
I need more Tom Hanks.
That's your logic.
Yeah. I will say that I had to get up a lot to
process.
Yeah. So it wasn't, and it's not enough Tom Hanks for me either. So I'm going to give it like a middle rating, so three probably.
Wait. I think I misinterpreted. Are we going off of Tom Hanks?
Honestly, the rating is based on you. I just...
Because I was equating Tom Hanks's faces. Like I saw in my mind like five smiling Tom Hankses.
Yes.
As like instead of five stars.
Yeah, they are. Five
smiling Tom's faces.
Instead of stars. Okay. They're basically the equivalent. This is you basing it on the movie.
Okay, then I stick with my 4.5.
Totally.
Yeah. I stick with my
4.5. Yeah, I would commit to it.
Yeah,
I thought it was a strong justification.
Yeah.
I mean, in general,
yours were so great, it would have changed me.
Every single movie I watch, I'm basing it on how much Tom Hanks is in it.
And
that's the baseline.
Like today, I saw Dumbo, and I didn't like it as much because Tom Hanks wasn't in it.
That makes sense.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I was thinking about what role Tom Hanks would have done.
Your whole life is about the Tom Hanks.
How do you feel about like Mulan?
Mulan?
Yeah.
The movie Mulan?
Yeah. Yeah. There's like no Tom Hanks in that.
Yeah. There's no Tom Hanks in that, but I still really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was like a great movie.
That was a really great movie because I enjoyed it despite the fact that Tom Hanks was
exactly. Truly. So that's a really cool thing because when a movie succeeds without Tom Hanks and you love it, it gets like a little extra.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hear that.
Yeah. But also watching this movie and hearing Tom Hanks throughout just reminded me of like listening to audiobooks of Tom Hanks.
Oh, right.
Reading his own audiobooks. Yeah. It also reminded me a lot with the first time he started talking. I was like, this is like You've Got Mail when he's
totally
reading his emails.
100%.
It's like that same voice.
Yeah. He totally does have that like ever present, grounded guy.
Yeah.
I'll lead you through the story kind of thing. Yeah. That you're like, I'm on board.
I was having flashbacks to You've Got Mail.
For sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I feel like there's something we've given so much importance to the sound of his voice. Like he's like the conscience of America.
Yes.
Very much, it seems like.
His voice.
He's America's dad.
He is
America's dad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that's just like him. Like he just is that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we haven't given it to him. Like, he is that.
Do you think it would be smart for him to run for office?
No.
Ooh, no, he has no political experience.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, great.
I think he's been asked, too.
Really? Yes.
Yeah.
He's definitely been asked.
And he's like, no,
he's
that's
like,
not for me.
A terrible job.
Yeah, that's not for me.
Yeah. I think people fantasize about, like, the liberal version of, like, a figurehead, like a famous actor,
or
like a Hollywood person, who like suddenly
everyone wants like Oprah to run, you know,
exactly, yeah.
I don't know, that'd be cool.
I mean, that would be cool.
That would be rad.
I'd be interested
if Tom Hanks was running. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would vote
You'd
for
hop
him,
on
but
that
then
campaign
also
train.
I'd just be upset that he would have 4 years of doing another job that wasn't making movies for me.
That's true.
Yes, that's true. I'd rather
have him. He would just be making policies for
him. Which is fine. I approve of all of his policies. Honestly, I feel like the first thing he would do would be like, let's go back to the moon. We love space.
You're right.
Let's go back to the moon, you guys.
Yeah. Let's go back to the moon. There's still stuff to discover there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's still money to be made on the moon.
But I feel like he would be good, like, just like someone to talk to about policy and stuff like that. Cause he's kind of like a voice of, like, even during that whole, I got mad cause during the Me Too movement, so many people were going to him and asking him, like, what's your opinion about it? And and it was like, why are you asking Tom Hanks? And it's like, because he's a good guy in Hollywood. Let's hear him. But he always had like great ways of saying things in like the most political way that was like, this is right. I think he's a good advisor, but I don't think he
that's rad.
Yeah.
Should be president.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I would vote for him. I just would rather have him on my
TV.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I want in a fictional role.
Yeah. Also, that job is, it wears you down so much that I don't want anything to affect his health at all.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. That's really fair.
I
want
to be healthy. Yeah. You know, no
his
stress.
His body is his temple.
Mm-hmm. No stress.
He is a vessel for character.
Yeah.
Those before and after pictures of presidents are wild.
Yeah. Like, dude, Obama's fucks me up.
I know.
He's like,
you just age so much.
You just see like the weight of America.
He still looks great.
No, he still looks great. And he looks better now. He looks like happier now.
Yeah. He went on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was 8 years of the hardest job in the world.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's got like a surfer bod. You
know? Yeah. Go Obama. Yeah.
But it's a lot.
Yeah.
I know, it's a lot of stress. We don't have to ask that of Tom Hanks, but I thought I would throw it out there. Because I've heard people float it before.
Yeah.
That idea.
People like the idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just, you know, the reality of it is like.
Isn't that crazy that like an I can't speak.
An anemone?
And no, it's not Anne. That's what's tripping me up.
Yeah.
A narration.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of a movie could, or multiple movies.
Yeah.
Could make people be like, I want that as a figurehead.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just like voiceover.
Yeah.
You know where I think it comes from though? Like, and I think one reason I'm attracted to like a Tom Hanks or an Oprah, I think people's ideas of what a president should be are changing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I think it's becoming more and more. We've seen it with Obama and now Trump. The thing that's similar between both of them is they're very rhetorical.
Yeah.
And they're reflective of what their base says and how they look and talk. And so it's almost like we care less about like these policy specifics, and it's more like who's going to be the great voice and face of America. Mm-hmm. Like that's the most important thing. It's like this figurehead role. Yeah. And I think Tom Hanks kind of fits that. I think Oprah fits that.
Totally. Yeah. Which is like why we're attracted.
Why there are ideas out there. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, any last things you want to say about Radio Flyer or Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
I recommend people watch.
Yeah.
I do. I recommend this for a Sunday when you're in your bed and you kind of like, you're like, I want to think right now.
Yeah.
Dude, I would highly recommend to not smoke weed or have a drink while you do it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that would take you down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
It would take me down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful I watched this sober.
I would also recommend the movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was really, really good. It was cathartic for me to watch.
Super.
I watched it a little bit stoned this morning.
You did?
I had a little wake and bake. And I watched it this morning, a little stoned.
How's your heart?
I felt like it sort of opened me up to it a little bit.
Okay.
I felt like a little bit more vulnerable.
Yeah, totally.
And was like resonating with certain parts of the movie that maybe I would maybe have a wall up to.
Oh,
so for me, it was a good experience. But I understand your disclaimer.
Depends on how you take it.
Exactly, yeah.
And it depends on your relationship with weed, too.
Totally.
If it takes you to a dark place, then it will take you to a dark place.
Well, it takes me to either like a very fun, relaxed place.
Yes.
Or like when put in the wrong situations. Yeah. A thinky place. So like if I were to go down the thoughts of that one, it would just like,
Everything is funnier to me. So I would just take this movie the wrong way. And I was like,
the buffalo.
The buffalo was a big moment for me this morning. Yeah.
Oh my God. I bet that buffalo was a big thing.
Yeah. I was like, this can't be real.
Yeah.
I also want to plug The Terminal because that was another one of my favorites.
Oh, it's so good.
It's one of my favorite Tom Hanks
is great.
He's so good.
He's so cute in that movie.
Yeah. And Catherine Zeta-Jones is great in that movie, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Thelma. I can't wait to watch it
from
again.
Chicago.
Did you do that one already?
No, not yet.
Rad.
Yeah.
Rad.
We gotta have him back.
I'm excited to listen to that episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Well, you guys, where can people find you?
Well, they can find our podcast, The Biggest Scoop.
Yes.
It's on Apple
Podcasts.
It's on Spotify. It's on Stitcher.
Podcast.
However you like it.
Just search The Biggest Scoop. Picture of me and Pete naked in a bathtub of newspaper.
Yeah.
Ow!
It's a lot of fun. If you want to follow me, I tweet at Mittenberries, what you wear in the winter, plus the end of strawberries. I tweet there, and that's my Instagram.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
I sometimes use Instagram at Nat Damn. That's my last name emphasized.
Yeah.
Where can people find you, Rachel?
Me?
Hey, Rachel, plug yourself.
Okay. Well, you guys, the podcast has You've Got Hanks on Twitter and Instagram. Also, leave a little review if you liked it.
Reviews are super helpful.
Reviews are so helpful because it's constructive criticism. Yeah. And we appreciate that as
artists.
Also,
the more reviews you get, the higher up you get into
on the
like,
searches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
review it.
We need to
be
better about
that. Review, the biggest goop review. You've got Hanks, but only nice things. Okay?
Only nice things, please.
You know what? I'll take some
criticism.
I'll take some constructive criticism.
Only if it's constructive. If it's talking about
if you're just talking shit because your own issues, no thank you.
Yeah. On the Inside the Disney Vault, I've mentioned this before.
Yes.
People constantly criticize my voice and say that it's like annoying and whiny or I sound drunk.
And you're like, that
high.
Sounds like a problem with you.
I know, it's like, obviously that's you don't like the sound of women talking.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to look at yourself. And
right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, look in a mirror.
Yeah. This is my voice.
Some people.
And it's going to give me a Pixar movie one day.
Yes,
it
is.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Wait, do you do VO work?
No, I would like to.
You'd be
I feel like
fantastic
you could, yeah,
at it.
Oh,
you
thanks. Rock it. I do stuff for my friend Dan. He's like an animator.
Oh,
and he's
cool.
Always
cool.
Like, come voice this.
Yeah. 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 That's so fun. My roommate Eric is doing a lot of VO work.
Oh, really?
And it's a cool field. I've been thinking about it a lot too.
You should do it. Yeah, I feel like everyone has a great voice. Mm-hmm. You're either like Bill Farmer who does Goofy and he does a bunch of different voices.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or you're like a Richard Kine who just has a weird voice and you can do that voice for everyone.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's how I view VO work.
Yes.
Everyone can do it. It's just whether or not you have an interesting voice or you can do different voices.
Exactly. Yay. Yes. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that for us.
I love that for the listeners.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, that job is the best job ever because you could just show up and talk into a mic and you don't have to wear regular clothes.
You can do it from
in your
home.
Yeah.
Eric works from home. He just
That's
has
so
a
nice.
Recording studio.
That's nice.
Got to be sure to get out of the house, though.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we need sunshine.
We need sunshine.
Yeah. Vitamin D. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here, you guys.
Thank you for having us. This was a blast.
Rachel, you
this
are fantastic, so and this is a fantastic podcast.
Oh, thank you.
You're a dream. And see her on the improv stage, too, because she's so
Oh, my God.
Fun.
Rachel Chapman is one of the funniest improvisers I've ever seen in my whole life.
Oh, stop it.
UCB, put her on a team and get her up every week.
Oh,
you're crazy.
No.
We did, like, a little scene at this show, Kaleidoscope, and it was my favorite scene.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think, actually, you're one of the only people who's, like, made me kind of, like, almost pee myself.
Really?
Yeah.
You probably just had to pee.
No. It was at that big cage match that, like, all of Mess Hall versus all of Mock.
I had literally just gotten off a plane and driven to UCB, so
it was
like
so
tired.
Funny. You did this like it was so physical. You
My
did this
kick?
Like, you did like a kick like over and over again, like
I don't know where my one.
I will never forget. I don't even remember the context, but it was just the visual of like you doing like a full like.
It was a high kick.
Yeah, a full high kick like in a circle
turning
like
around.
10 times. Like kick, kick, kick.
You know, patterns, right?
Patterns.
That's awesome.
And then I also made a my wife.
You did make a my wife.
It made sense to me, but apparently made no sense to anyone
It was
else.
Completely out of context, but the way that you did it, you were so sure of it that it made it so funny.
I was so tired. I should just be tired more in scenes. Thank you so much for being there and watching.
I had to.
Oh, wow. Well, thanks again for being here, you guys. You guys are so wonderful.
Thanks, Rachel. Come on our podcast soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got some scoops.
You got some scoops?
Good.
We want to hear your scoops, right?
Okay.
Bring your biggest one.
Because we only accept the biggest.
I got to find the biggest. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Lots of love. Yeah. Lots of Hanks. Yeah. Tanks. Tom Hanks.
Hanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye.
It's a Tom Hanks podcast. Wow, a Tom Hanks podcast.